Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles. We have a whole lot to talk about, but before we do that, I want to give love to our title sponsor, Hess Spinal Centers. They provide the best medical care for you and your family when you're going through this tough time after a car accident. You know, being injured in a car accident is stressful for you and your family. It's tough. It's tough sledding. And there's a few things out there that Hess knows that maybe you don't know. Like, Florida law requires you to call and seek medical treatment within 14 days of your auto accident. That's something that Hess will let you know about. So 16 area Bay Area locations, 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess, 1-800-618-HESS. Now, the draft is right around the corner, so we're going to talk a little Buccaneer draft in a little bit. Not so much going too much in depth. I'm not doing a mock draft. Anybody who's able, I will allow you to shoot me in the face if I ever do a mock draft. I will allow you to do that. I just don't get it at all. So we're going to talk a little bit about the draft. There's a couple transactions going on, some retirements, some of my concerns about the Buccaneers, and a lot of stuff happening around the NFL. I was shocked and appalled, I guess, when I saw that Mark Sanchez was suspended for PEDs. Mark Sanchez, who has had a tumultuous type of career, really had a lot of success early in his career. People talk about Mark Sanchez like he's some bust, but you know, Mark Sanchez took the Jets to the AFC Championship, I believe, 2 years in a row. I mean, not really because he was such a lights-out quarterback, but still to get that done is quite the accomplishment. Unfortunately for him, he'll be known for the butt fumble forever. So he gets suspended for PEDs. Of course, he comes out and says, I'm blaming it on a supplement, which is just an excuse, okay? I still don't remember any athlete saying, man, you got me, dude. Yeah, because we all know athletes cheat. Everybody cheats. There's a lot of money to be made, and everybody cheats a little bit. They just do. Well, I mean, you're going to try to push the limit. And nobody ever says, ah, man, you got me. It's always, I work out so hard, or I took this supplement, or I have tainted food. But no athletes ever, you know, they never get caught doing anything. And they always talk about blaming supplements. You can't test positive for a supplement. They don't test you for that. I'm telling you, if you test positive in an NFL test, you are taking something that is on a legal list, period. So I don't think anybody's gonna be missing Mark Sanchez anytime soon. I had somebody ask me the other day, Dez Bryant got released by the Dallas Cowboys, and I know a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans that are elated. I would be too, because, you know, Dez Bryant, although has had some wonderful years, is not the guy that you want to be as your number two or number three wide receiver. He's too boisterous. His personality is too strong. If you don't throw him the ball, he's just a bad person to have on your team. So Dez Bryant's out there, and somebody said, hey, you think the New England Patriots will go pick him up? I mean, he would be a New England Patriots type of resurrection project, but he can't play anymore. When you watch Dez Bryant play, he's lost three steps. He's slow, and he's just not that effective as a football player anymore. So the one thing the Patriots do, they will pick up other people's trash, but you still have to be able to play. So I'd be shocked if I actually saw Dez Bryant get picked up by the Patriots. He'll get picked up somewhere. It just has to be the right fit. There has to be already some good football players on that team, and you just can't have to depend on him as being the man, because I think those days are definitely behind him. Now, being here in the Bay Area, we obviously have ties to John Gruden, and believe it or not, we have ties to the Raiders. That they had a big part in our one Super Bowl victory. Thank God for that. Then John Gruden heading back to the Raiders. I'm curious to see how it goes. You know, more so, I'm curious to see what John Gruden has been concocting for the last few years. You know, when you're doing Monday Night Football and all these different broadcasts, that's cool, but that can't take up all this time. You know, I guarantee he was going to the lab and figuring things out. And you're going to see something come out that's funky. I don't know. Like, hopefully John will figure out a way to teach it, because John has a hard way of dumbing things down. I've been with John, and sometimes he can get a little bit too complicated. But I want to see who he surrounds himself with. I want to see what kind of system he runs. He has a nice quarterback in Carr. They have some good football players over there with the Raiders. It's not like he's, you know, getting put on a team that went like Tony Dungy had to way back in the day that hadn't been in the playoffs in umpteen years. The Raiders have a good nucleus of football players. Khalil Mack is one of the better football players I've seen on any team at any time. And when you're comparing defensive players, you want to look at somebody like Khalil Mack, because I watched him often and he's never invisible. And he's on one side of the ball. And what I mean is he's an outside linebacker, and the ball could be run away from an outside linebacker, but Khalil White is omnipresent. And that's what we want from our stars. We have some people that are quote-unquote stars, but they're not omnipresent. We need that to happen. And hopefully we'll be able to pick some up in the draft as well, but that's not what you find, you know, today's stars. Those are tomorrow's stars in the draft. Now, a football player just retired, and I believe he's retired 3 or 4 times before. James Harrison just retired. You know, he got cut last year at the end, and, you know, it was really kind of a sad way for him to leave the Steelers. But he just retired, had a crazy career to where he ended up with some pretty good statistics. Got cut by the Steelers way, way back when, and then came back and all of a sudden was the defensive player of the year almost. So maybe he should have been tested a few times as well. But James Harrison retired. I always wanted a James Harrison-type football player here in Tampa, and it's been a long time since he's had one, for sure. Now, speaking of our Tampa Bay Buccaneers, DeMar Dotson, who I do talk to every once in a while, consider him a friend. He just had a knee surgery, nothing crazy. He's going to miss some OTAs, which old offensive linemen want to do anyways. I saw Richie Incognito. He retired. As an old offensive lineman, we all want to retire at this time of the year, because the last thing we want to do is go out and do field drills in April and May and June or with some young kids. And the other last thing we want to do is go through a training camp. So somebody like DeMar Dotson, Richie Incognito, who just retired, you know, they'll resurface maybe sometime in training camp. I bet Richie Incognito waits till the third week of training camp and tells somebody, I'm ready to play. Or go look and see where there's an injury. Pop your head in there. You miss training camp. Life is good. You don't want to go through training camp when you're in 10th, 11th, 12th year in the NFL. That's not fun. Trust me on that one. So I just hope, like, DeMar Dotson, who's our right tackle, is towards the end of his career. I talked to him last year about maybe that being his last year, and he said he's going to come back this year. And then the Bucs got to start preparing themselves for life after DeMar Dotson, that's for sure. And Donovan Smith on the left-hand side, I'm not sure if that project's working or not, but I wouldn't be upset if they figured out somebody to put over there as well. The Bucs re-signed Evan Smith, backup lineman. If need be, he can get in there, play a bunch of different positions. An important guy to have in there, knows the system, been around everybody, so that's a good signing. Not a big-time signing like a JPP or anything like that, but a good signing. April 26th is the NFL draft. I'll be watching it. I don't love the draft, although I watch it. It's going to be on Fox, ESPN, and the NFL Network as well. Starts kind of late at 8 o'clock, so, you know, if you have a pick late, you know, Bucks are 7. If you have a pick late, man, I got to get up early. I don't know if I'm going to be up, but I'll be there watching it. My wishes, I wish that the Bucs come out with as many football players as they can. I'm not, player-wise, I don't think that's sometimes as important with a team that has holes, and we do have holes on the Buccaneers. You know, there's going to be some other teams that can trade up because they need that one receiver or they need that one defensive lineman. That's not where the Bucs are. Now, I'm hoping that they trade down. That's me. Because, you know, at that 7th pick, are they going to have a difference maker there? Nobody's going to ever know that. You can still have a difference maker at 9, 12, 17, 25, second round. Go and get more picks. I don't think we're one player away from anything. Now, some of the names that have been out there, the Fitzpatrick kid, I heard that name. I don't know if you can go for, you know, a defensive back to be that big of a difference maker, because we still don't know where our pass rush is. We still don't know. We're hoping that we have a pass rush. I know Bradley Chubb is a name that's come up quite often. NC State, off the top of my head, I can't think of a lot of great NC State defensive linemen. It doesn't mean he can't be one. I know he has some impressive film, but you got to figure when you bring in those defensive linemen as rookies, it takes a while for them to get, you know, their legs underneath them. And a lot of times they're not going to be that player the first year. And you almost have to go through their rookie pains. Quentin Nelson, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame, I got a chance to see a little bit of his film. You know, last week with Chris Landry, you know, Chris stays on top of this thing, and he said pretty much this Quentin Nelson kid is, you know, probably one of the most football NFL-ready players in the draft. So, I mean, I'm going to take his word for it, and we could definitely use an offensive lineman. I mean, you can never have too many good offensive linemen. And then Saquon Barkley, I just, as far as talent goes, he might be the most talented kid in the draft. That's possible. When I watched him play, I mean, he did, every game I watched, he did some astounding things. He's still a running back. I still don't want to waste a top pick on a running back. You know, when you look at our running back situation last year, and if you go back and listen to In the Trenches that I did before the season, I let everybody know, I go, Doug Martin is like one of the more overrated players in the whole NFL. And I still believe that. You know, the Buccaneers sat there and fed Doug Martin over and over and over, and I couldn't really understand why. Towards the end of the year, obviously, they pulled the plug on that. And then when you're looking out there and you're reading some different publications on how they're rating the Buccaneers as running back situation, Peyton Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers, you know, basically they're saying that these aren't 1,000-yard rushers. Well, I have to disagree with that. You know, Doug Martin averaged under 3 yards a carry last year. And Peyton Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers averaged right around 4. If you average right around 4 yards a carry and you give a guy the ball enough, he's going to get 1,000 yards. We just don't rush the ball enough. We don't rush the ball enough at all. And that falls on Dirk Cutter. And if you rush the ball and you're able to run the football, that makes everybody in that huddle that much better. Jameis Winston is going to be substantially better if he can just hand that ball off to a running back 25 times a game. That's the one statistic people always forget about is everybody wants to say, well, we pass for 400 yards, blah, blah, blah. If you can run the ball, if you can give a running back 25 touches, period, you usually win that football game. That means you control the line of scrimmage and you're able to push them around, obviously. So the Bucs haven't looked like that in a long time. They haven't been the team that could line up and push people around the field. So let's see if that mentality changes a little bit, because the Bucs have to create a mentality. They've lost their mentality completely. I'm not sure what it is. Now, the one player I'm going to ask for, this is the one player that I'm going to ask for, is my boy Shaquem Griffin from UCF. Now, I have no idea where this kid's going to go. It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if he sneaks in the first round. It wouldn't be craziest, because for a kid like that from UCF, and for those of you that don't know, it's a kid that has one hand, and the other one kind of has the nub on it. But I watched him at UCF, never invisible, always around the field, always playing hard, hustling till the whistle all the time. That stuff that can't be coached. And that's the kind of stuff that rubs off on other players, no doubt. And when I'm hearing his coach say he has the best motor I've ever seen, those are the things that I want to hear. He could be a situational pass rusher. You can put different defenses. I don't know if he'll be able to do the whole thing. I don't know if he could turn into Derek Brooks. But there's certain things the Bucs need to start doing to keep offenses off balance. It seems like we've been rushing 4 defensive linemen for years and have never got to the quarterback. when we have linebackers, like, we're not suited to run a 3-4 defense because our linebackers are not, they're not big enough. Like, Quan Alexander is not a big linebacker. He doesn't want to be taking on guards all day. Neither does Lavonte David. But in nickel, come out with three defensive linemen, put Gerald McCoy on the nose, which makes that a very, very tough block for that center. You know, put this Shaquem Griffin out on the outside running his 4-3-8, and then take Quan Alexander and Lavonte David and have them walking around and rushing from different angles. Look how much speed that is. If you have Gerald McCoy in the middle, and then you have Shaquem Griffin running a 4-3-8, and then you have Quan Alexander, who is the fastest middle linebacker in the league, now all of a sudden there's some mismatches out there. And the Bucs have just not ever done anything all that creative with their rushing game for me. It's just not that creative. And it hasn't really led to anything. And the Bucs haven't rushed a passer in a long damn time. It seems like the Bucs get three sacks and everybody's like, oh, we're back. And nah, man, I mean, there's a lot of sacks out there. You can't sack the quarterback, you're not going to win in this league. It's just not going to happen. So they have to figure out some innovative ways to get that quarterback on the ground next year. And this year. And that's period. You got to find a way to run the football. You got to find a way to simplify the game a little bit. Maybe not ask your, you know, you really can't say Jameis Winston's young anymore. He's not that. This is going to be a very crucial year for Jameis Winston. Obviously, it's a very crucial year for everybody in the front office. They know it. I know there's going to be some butt-tight cats in that draft room. You make a mistake, like a la Aguayo, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be gone. And it's not going to take long. It's not going to take long for them to figure out that this is not heading in the right direction. This has got the Buccaneers and this franchise have to start heading in the right direction immediately starting off this season. And they have to all know that. They have to. You know, there was murmurs and rumors that they were going to pull the plug last year on this. I wasn't the one asking for it. I don't think it was the right time. But if the Bucs go 1-3, 1-4, and I'm seeing people still questioning the systems, it's time to change. Because on great teams with great quarterbacks and great coordinators and great head coaches, they don't question the system. This is the system. It works. It's been anything your coach teaches you, that system has worked somewhere at some level. So, but if you don't buy in, it ain't going to work. And I don't know, especially defensively, if we've ever bought in defensively with what's going on over there. And that's going to be essential. And we got to get better offensively, defensively, special teams. We need some more playmakers. Deshaun Jackson, you're making a lot of money. There can't be any excuses why Jameis Winston and Deshaun Jackson aren't hooking up this year. There can't be any more excuses. You have a whole offseason to work. You know, Mike Evans has always been on the same page with Jameis Winston. O.J. Howard now all of a sudden has a whole lot of potential. He has to be somebody that shows up. And everybody has to stay healthy as well. That's very important that everybody stays healthy throughout the year. So, I mean, this is going to be, I'm reserving my optimism this year because I spewed it last year. And I sicked my stomach about five games into the season when I said I drank the Kool-Aid. So there'll be no Kool-Aid drinking this year. The Bucs are going to have to show me and they're going to have to prove to me that they can play. And from what I saw last year, it was up and down, but a whole lot of down. Definitely not nearly enough up with the Buccaneers. And it's right around the corner. The draft's right here, so it should be fun. It'll give us something to talk about for a few more weeks as we go forward and lead up to that football season. Once again, I want to give some love to Hess Spinal Centers. You can give them some love. Give them a call, 1-800-618-HESS. We'll be back next week. I also have another podcast, Flavor in the Year, that comes out on Friday. You guys want to check that out. It's got a little bit more pop culture. Keep it a little light. And there's no football talk. And this is what this is all about. That's why we call it In the Trenches. If you guys want to get in contact with me, Ian Beckles at radioinfluence.com. If you guys have any questions, I will get back to you. And I usually talk about it on the podcast. So I appreciate you guys listening in. I know you love the Bucs. I know you love football, and I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Have a wonderful week, and please stay out of trouble. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Crush Performance Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I've had the honor of working at the highest level of sport and also at the development levels of sport and also all around the globe helping organizations and athletes succeed. And I've seen pressure. I've seen athletes succumb to pressure. I've also been lucky enough to be around some really, really smart people who know how to overcome the anxiety and pressure that's related to performance, not just in sport. This applies to life in general. This goes well outside the arena of sport, but sport is just a great place to maybe learn some of these strategies and skills that can help you succeed in whatever you're trying to do. And so while we sat there and contemplated why these athletes, these climbing athletes, were experiencing such a high level of anxiety and such great numbers, we were trying to find answers. And listen, that's what performance is all about. It's about problem solving and decision making, but you only know what you know. When you have a problem that you know you're not fully capable of overcoming, that's where you turn to your performance team.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crichel, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.